We had a good time this morning, didn't we? I feel like this church had a breakthrough this morning. Anybody feel different since this morning? That there was a heaviness that was just trying to dominate your attitudes, and something about being aware. Awareness is half the victory. And just that alleviated much of the pressure. And I know we don't have a church full of quitters. We have a church full of warriors. Right? Gotta let the warrior rise up within you. Well, let's get into this word. This morning we were teaching on wave theory and how the enemy attacks in waves. And as I was praying this afternoon about what to bring tonight, it just kept coming to me to do a part two on this tonight. Would that be okay? Let's go back to the verse we started with this morning, with 2 Samuel chapter 22. Let's get into this. 2 Samuel 22. This is David's song. Verse 1, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Now, how many of Saul was trying to kill David? I mean, here's David hiding in caves. He's having to pretend that he's insane. Remember that? Let drool run down his chin to act like he's insane just to try to stay alive? I can honestly say I've never had to do that. I've never had to live in caves because somebody was trying to kill me. So everything for us ought to be, you know, on the downslope. If David experienced that. And it said God delivered him. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Now here David is doing what we call this morning a download. He's just glorifying God with everything he can think of. But he's saying, when I was in distress or when I was being threatened, I had to have a solid foundation to stand on. And God was that foundation. He was my shield. He was what I put all of my trust in. In other words, even though it looked like I was going to be killed, I trusted God enough to cut the fringe off of Saul's garment. Remember that? A piece of his robe off. He truly believed that there was a call on his life and that if he would trust in God, the devil couldn't touch him. Glory to God. Do you believe that? If there's a call on David's life, there's a call on your life. Amen. Because David wasn't born again. He wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't have the New Testament and the end time church assignment placed upon him. Oh, glory to God. God's got great things in mind for you. But he needs us to trust in him. Right? He goes on and he says, verse 4, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. David recognized the importance of getting his words aligned with his need. Now again, this is a word of faith church. In other words, we believe there's power in our words. That's what a word of faith means. We believe there's power in our words to activate spiritual principles. That God genuinely gave us authority in the world system. And so the Bible says in Proverbs 18, death and life's in the power of the tongue, right? We have the right to speak in the situations and see the power of God released. So David was just reciting that. David wrote Psalm 18, or no, his son wrote Proverbs 18. I was thinking Psalm 18. His son wrote Proverbs 18, Solomon. But David here is saying, if I want to see God's delivering power, I need to call on him. Now, we understand when we call on God, we don't call on God in a whining fashion. Oh, God, please come and help me. I'm going to die. We declare what God has already said. You give your angels charge over me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Amen. He always causes me to triumph. He's made me more than a conqueror. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We speak the word. So David says, I'm going to call upon my God. Verse 5. When the waves of death compassed me. Some of your Bibles may say pangs, but really it has the same effect. Have you ever had hunger pangs or some type of pangs hit you? Don't they come in a cyclical fashion? In other words, you don't just have one continual hunger pain. It hits you, and it hits you, and it hits you. Like a throbbing ache, usually timed with your heartbeat, right? So when the waves of death compassed me or surrounded me, the floods, here's how you can be okay declaring its waves, because waves come with floods. When the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell, oh my goodness, that's what some of us have been encountering lately. The sorrows of hell compassed or surrounded me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I used the power of the tongue. I spoke the word. I called upon God, right? And it says to my God, and he did hear my voice. He's waiting to hear our voices. Out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. Now we could read on through this, but basically when David took the effort to call upon God, God was moved by that voice. It says he did hear my voice, right? It does not say he saw my situation. This is an important facet here. It doesn't say he saw my situation. There are many Christians that are in dire situations that are not seeing the deliverance power of God. Your situation, although I'm sure God is troubled by them, your situation does not move God to bow the heavens. Your voice does. He's looking for faith in someone's words that will cause him to move and shift whatever foundation he needs to shift to see your deliverance come to pass. Oh, glory be to God. But they're called the ways of death. And we were talking about this morning that there had been an attack released against you, against this ministry, against the revivalist church worldwide, to try to get them to quit. Chaos and confusion have been released into the earth. Last year was a pivotal year we had a word of, and this year's a year of increase. But I'm telling you what, the devil is in freak out mode, and he's released confusion all around. Look on the news media right now. It's confusion and chaos. And everybody hates every other candidate. Amen. I've never seen an election like this one. I've never seen an election even close to like this one. The closest one was in 2000 with the fuzzy math. Remember the dented chads and everything else? That was crazy, but nothing like we have right now. And I believe it's the enemy just trying to totally discombobulate America and even the body across worldwide. And so the symptoms of this attack, as we mentioned this morning, we're just feeling a feeling of hopelessness. Why try? What's the point? Why serve God with all of my heart? It seems like it's not producing for me. And that's an attack. And what we found here is the ways of death make you want to quit. When you're in deep water and a wave comes over your head, amen, if you don't have peace about you, you may panic and think you're going to drown. And the devil will tell you that you're going to drown, especially with a wave of oppression. He's going to tell you that it's going to last forever, you're never coming up for air, and you're going to die buried under that wave of just not having any joy, not having any peace, not having any victory. And what we found out over years of doing this is the devil can only attack in a wave fashion. And waves have crests and they have troughs. So when an enemy attacks, there may be a time it feels like it's gone over your head and you just can't take any more. And I just don't know if I can stand any longer. But the Bible says, having done all to stand, stand ye therefore. God knew there would be waves hit you that you were going to have to stand until it passed. And of course, how do you stand with a wave? You speak the word. If you want to stand on the rock, the only way you stand on the rock is use your voice and speak what the rock has said. See, we've drawn up here a wave. Let's call this a water wave for the sake of this discussion. And we'll just draw you under it. Let's say the wave. Here's you under the wave. In that position, you feel like you're going to drown. Potentially no light. You can't hardly see, right? Saltwater anyway. You don't want to open your eyes. And in that position, the enemy's telling you that it's going to last forever. And we found out if you'll speak the word, you're going to come out of it. But guess what? If you let the wave push you, then as the wave moves, say, to the next position, now it's over here, and you let the wave push you, now you're still under it. And if the wave moves over to here, and you let the wave push you, guess what? You're still under it. You got to do something to put your feet down and say, I shall not be moved. And only the word makes you immovable. When the word says he's our rock, the house built on the rock, and the storms come, you got to be anchored to something that's not going to move. And only the word has that power. So what we discovered is, just refreshing on this morning, we found out that if you have two waves of just say similar size and of the same phase, phase means their starting point. If I draw a wave and it looks like this, and they have the same intersecting points with the neutral axis, they're of the same phase. If I draw a wave and instead it starts here, it's called 180 degrees out of phase. It's half a cycle of 360 degrees mathematically. So that would be 180 degrees out of phase. Now, in our situation, we've discovered that if you have two waves and they're in phase, that when two waves are in phase hit, they actually combine to form a wave twice the amplitude. Now, we discovered the devil has oppressive forces he sends against us in the form of waves. You have a voice God's given you with authority. You release sound waves. We can just use this as an example. And when you use your voice, when the devil attacks you and he says, you're going to die, and you go, I'm going to die. And the devil says, you're going broke. Oh, I'm going broke. You're not going to make it. I can't make it. You're going to lose everything. I'm losing everything. You're releasing a wave of authority in your voice in agreement with the wave of oppression the enemy sent against you. And the result is things get worse. And potentially stay worse. Because as long as your voice is in phase with the devil, you're staying with his wave. What is called a standing wave. Throw in some more physics terms, right? You stay in phase with your voice, with the oppression, and all of a sudden the enemy's attacks stay with you and even get worse. You can't afford to use your authority against yourself. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. If you're speaking death, you're agreeing with oppression. Guess what? You're releasing power. And demonic forces are going to work against you. But what we also discovered, if instead I use my voice out of phase with the attack, and instead I speak opposite what the enemy is saying, I understand this is not actually how things operate in the realm of physics. These are teaching examples. You follow me? There's not actually ways of oppression that your voice is out of phase with and sustaining. This is a teaching example. But when you speak out of phase with the attack, when you take two waves of the same size, but of 180 degrees out of phase or opposite each other in phase, the result is they cancel. So if this level represents the amplitude of attack or oppression, if that's the amplitude of oppression and you can neutralize it with your voice, guess what? You have peace. So when Jesus rose up in the storm and he said, "Peace, be still," he released an opposing, opposite waveform against that storm that caused all the waves to be stilled. And then he said, "And I give you the same authority to do that." We have ability to activate oppression neutralizing force with our words. Amen. And you don't have to stay under that attack. Now here's a vital part of the lesson we mentioned this morning. I want to bring it out tonight. If you're going to be an effective spiritual warrior in the end times, an effective prayer warrior, you must know that if you'll speak the word, attacks cannot stay. I remember way back, this would have been probably late 80s. We were learning to pray in the mornings, an hour in tongues every morning. And my goodness, that was when hardly anybody was known to pray in tongues for extended periods of time. We're doing an hour every morning, 5 days a week. And the attacks the enemy sent against us were, I'm telling you, were vicious. Vicious attacks. We didn't even know our righteousness at the time. Vicious attacks of not being worthy, not doing good enough, of oppression and failure and everything else. And we would speak the word. We were learning faith. We'd speak the word. And we'd come out from under the attack. We go, whew. I'm so glad that's over. I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. I hope I never have another attack like that. Don't know if I can stand against another attack like that. And guess what? Here'd come another attack like that. Why? Because they come in waves. To say the enemy's never going to attack you again is to go out the ocean and say there's never going to be any more waves in the ocean. The waves are going to come. It's what you do with the waves. Like Kenneth Hagin told the lady that wanted him to pray for her that the devil would not attack her thoughts anymore. He said, "Woman, if I could do that, I'd lay hands on myself." He said, "You can't stop the devil from attacking, but you can stop him from making a nest in your hair." Amen. The point is the attacks will come. What do you do with the attack? And it's vital you know. It's vital you know that attacks will come, but if you'll speak the word, they can't stay. And it will always, always, always pass. Now we're looking at, what are we, you know, over 25 years later. Really, it's now 20, this is our 28th year in faith. We've been learning and applying faith. I've been under literally, shouldn't say under, I've experienced literally hundreds and hundreds of oppressive attacks. Sounds promising, doesn't it? But you know what? You get where they just don't matter. Not that you don't care anymore, but you know you're coming through it. If I know, if I speak the word, it's going to pass, I'm going to laugh at it as it's going by. You know, I mentioned a surfing this morning, and I was, you know, a few years ago surfing down at Kauai in the really one of the number one surfing beaches in the world. What an opportunity. And had the whole safety patrol ready behind me with the jet skis. They saw the old codger carrying a board out there in the water, in the deep water. You remember that? They were actually doing some type of safety exercises, but I think they came out early because they saw me carrying the board out. And you get out there and you know, and you're trying to get out to the deep water where you can, you know, have enough room between the wave and the beach before you run out, give you time to get on the board. And I can remember setting my feet, and I'm in deep water already, and here come the wave, it just go over my head. And I remember having just an amusing attitude. Ha 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 ha. And waiting for the wave to pass. Taking your breath, take another step, here comes another wave. You learn to develop a warrior attitude to confront and fix yourself for the wave and go through it and make sure every time you come through, you take a step forward. The Bible says we are not of those that draw back into perdition or ruin. Amen. We believe to the saving of the souls. We stay moving aggressively forward. The enemy's attacks are meant to make you think you cannot survive and get you speaking in agreement with the attack. Now I want to look at some other verses that deal with this, with these waves tonight. So turn in your Bibles to Psalm 65. See, if you don't learn anything else from today's messages, let it sink down inside of you. When the enemy tells you it's forever, let it sink down. He cannot sustain this attack against me. And we asked for hands this morning. How many have ever had an attack before? Did it pass? Yes. They always pass unless you get in agreement with them. And what I've discovered about the attacks of the enemy is not only does he say they will never let up, they'll never quit, he tells you that you're going to die from it, or it's the worst attack you'll ever have. You can lose everything in this one. Again, the time the enemy hit me with that pain in the side, remember that a few weeks ago? Enemy hit me with the pain in my side. It was a sharp pain. And I remember going, Jesus. And the devil said, your appendix just ruptured and you're about to die of peritonitis. I said, you stupid devil, my appendix is fine. It's a symptom. I don't receive it in Jesus' name. But by the way, my appendix is on this side, not on this side. I'm serious. The devil will tell you it's always the worst scenario possible. You're going to drown and the wave will never let up. Not only that, there's probably a shark waiting in that wave to take you out as well. I told you guys about going to Daytona a year and a half ago and getting on the boogie board. You remember that? We went to Daytona a year and a half ago with Pastor Carter. I keep getting offered these trips for free. All I got was get there and they give me free lodging. I said, I volunteer. Yes, I receive. So we go out there and we're staying on this south shore of Daytona. It's actually not Daytona anymore. It's south of Daytona. I forget the place. And there's a river that flows into the ocean right there. And we're right there next to that river. And I notice there's people way down there. They're on boogie boards way out and stuff. But in my area beach, and we've got this beach off the hotel we're staying at, the condos or whatever, and it's empty. There's people on the beach, but there's nobody in the water. I'm going, for me, hey, I got a private beach. Glory, I'm going out. So I grab the boogie board they had in the room there. I go out there, and I go out as far as I can trying to get away with the boogie board. I'm out there for some time. After we're done with the vacation, We get in touch with Patty's aunt and uncle who lived nearby. We didn't see them while we were there. They were actually in Kentucky at the time. And we told them where we were staying and that I was out there trying to catch the waves. And he says, you don't realize that spot you were at, there's a reason nobody else was there. That spot is the most shark-infested place in the planet. The density of... I told you this before, didn't I? The density of sharks in that location is higher than any other place on earth. Because that river flows into the Atlantic. They're gathering there in wait. And I'm surfing in it. He gives angels charge over me to bear me in my ways. So that thing about people tell me, you know, you're really a sharp guy. Sometimes there's a lapse. Hallelujah. Which my wife always takes great pleasure in whenever I have a lapse of wisdom. Gotcha. And so, I was going somewhere with that. The lesson. Know that the attacks cannot be sustained against you. The enemy cannot, he can resist the word, but he can't stop the word from overtaking him. And so the Bible says it's through faith and patience, right? Hebrews 6:12. It's through faith and patience we inherit the promises. So you release your faith and you have to patiently wait for faith to do its work. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn and ear, right? And the wave has to be ceased. We get to win. Psalm 65, have you got it? Verse 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest our needs. Are you guys reading with me? Is that what it says? O thou that seest our needs. O thou that knowest our situations. O thou that hearest prayer. Unto thee shall all flesh come. You understand when you pray, you're giving God access to move in your life and to still the waves in your situation. Though Jesus was in the boat, the waves did not cease until he spoke to them. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and cause to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. My goodness, we should be satisfied with the anointing on our lives. Much of Christianity, much of the world is just looking for new things. I'm looking for more of him. Things will come when you access more of him, right? But the more of him you access, the less things matter. The less hold they have on you, right? By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar upon the sea, which by his strength sitteth fast the mountains, being girded with power. He sitteth fast the mountains. They're immovable is what it means. Aren't you glad you get to go up on top of the mountain? Verse 7, which stilleth the noise of the sea, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. God is a God that stills the waves. And notice he connects the noise of the waves to the chaos of the peoples. Again, right now in the United States, there's a whole lot of chaos going on. Amen? But in your life, if you'll speak the word, he'll still the chaos around you. And you can have peace. But it says the noise of the waves. I believe in the Hebrew, the context is actually that the waves make a continual noise. The enemy, when he brings oppression, carries with it a continual noise. Little imps on your shoulder. Can't have that. And virtually make you miserable. Has anybody ever heard somebody that was in that situation? I know it was never you, but you've heard about somebody else's experience that, right? The waves continually crash. Did you ever go to the ocean? Is it ever quiet? If there's any waves, it's never quiet. In fact, if there's much of a wind at all, those waves make a racket. And that's the power of the demonic wave. I'm convinced when a wave of oppression hits you, the number one effect against you is not caused as much by any type of emotional distress that he brings, but by the continual screaming in your ear of how things have failed around you. How God's let you down, how it's not going to work, and how you'll never come out of it. It's that noise of the waves that caused them to have continual effect. Did you know we can stand some level of pain for short periods of time? You can stand a fairly high level of pain for a short period of time. But you know what makes that same level of pain unendurable? Is the voice saying it will never let up. Even a small pain or a smaller pain, you know, just something in your body causing you some pain. If a voice is telling you it will never get better, all of a sudden the pain becomes almost unendurable. It's kind of like, you know, when you have a situation where they give you pain pills and you forget to take it and all of a sudden the pain hits. And you realize, oh, I need to take that pill. Not pushing pain pills, but making an example. And when you take the pill, the pain has not changed when you take the pill. But there's a calming within you that you know within about half an hour the pill's going to kick in. And it becomes much easier to endure once you know there's a solution coming. When you know that the wave cannot stand, when you give an ability to speak against and still that storm, it shuts down that yakking that is never going to change. So if you can get a hold of the understanding it's going to change, guess what? You can endure a whole lot. You can endure a whole lot when you know it's going to change. But when you think it's going to stay the same, hopelessness sinks in that it's never going to get better. And why bother moving forward anymore? And don't be surprised, as Peter said, this fiery trial has come against you, right? The trying of your faith. The enemy will leave you alone as long as you're not a threat. But as soon as you start moving forward in faith and moving forward and developing an anointing, you paint a target on your head, he's going to come against you. Don't be surprised, but be enough of a warrior you can take it. I enjoy many of the warrior-type movies. Ones where it's a group of people and they've formed an armed force or something, and they've come together as a band, and you can tell they're tough. I mean, an arm gets cut off, and you know, no big deal. I'll just switch the sword to the other hand, and leg gets cut off, and I'll just have Monty Python flashbacks. Anyway, before Jesus. They're not getting a little bitty nick. Oh, I cut myself. They're warriors. They can take a hit. Amen? Have you guys ever seen that video? I've seen on Facebook several times of that Vietnam vet who was wounded so many times and kept fighting. Won a Medal of Honor. Well, we need to find it and put that up here and let you see it. He might have been in Korea and Vietnam. One of the most decorated vets of all time. I think he was of Indian descent. Maybe been Hispanic. But what a story that he wouldn't let his fellow soldiers down. I mean, bullets all in his body. We're talking about maybe over 20 bullets in his body. He won't stop. That's a warrior. He can take a hit, but he's not going to stop doing what he knows to do. And we've got to get over the pansy mindset within the body of Christ, which is a military force. We are good soldiers under Christ, right? Over this, oh, the devil attacked me, and I just can't take any. We've got to go beyond that. And recognize if we'll do the right thing, the attack cannot be sustained. And God's looking to raise up a warrior force in the end days. A vigilant church. Job chapter 9. Back up a book. Job 9, have you got it? Verse 1. Then Job answered and said, well, going down to verse 9. That isn't right. Oh, there it is. It's verse 8. I read the wrong verse. Verse 8. Talking about God, which alone spreadeth out the heavens. How many know God spread out the heavens with His fingertips? That even now scientists are really confusing it with a big bang. When God spoke it, it was spread out, right? Bible says He stretched out the heavens. And treadeth upon the waves of the sea. The same God that produced the heavens, in the same verses He treads on the waves of the sea. So to Him, the devil's little piddly attacks are nothing. And he is imposed or infused within the Word, the fullness of Him and His power. And if we'll speak that Word, as it said in 2 Samuel 22? 1 Samuel. 2 Samuel 22. That God will move the foundations of the earth to bring forth your deliverance from these attacks. He stilleth the waves. I don't believe it's an accident this passage is in here. And you need to know that God says waves are going to come. But there's not a single one He can't quench or put to rest. When the Word says no weapon formed against you shall prosper, right? Isaiah 54:17. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn it, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And your righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. When He says no weapon formed against you shall prosper, what is left out of no weapon? Nothing. There's nothing left out. So we are in error. We are in error when we say it's never going to get any better. The devil is lying when he says it will never get any better. Because that is a total, how can I say, opposing voice to the Word. And it's a tongue of condemnation risen up against you that you have to condemn. That's telling you the waves will last forever. And God's the God that stilleth the waves. But He needs your voice to come in on the scene. I just hung a police light in my man cave, trying to think of an example. And this police light uses some power. It's got all these lights flashing and spinning and everything else. It uses, you know, a whole lot more than you can get out of a flashlight battery. And it's funny that even though it uses all this power, it's got these little bitty wires powering it. And the reason it's able to use these little bitty wires powering it is because it has other power wires going to it. And all these little wires do is tell it to switch on. They're signal wires that say, okay, switch on. To some level. In the same fashion, your voice is not stilling the waves. Do you follow me? Your voice can't still a wave. Go out there and holler at it. It's not going to still based on your voice. Your voice triggers the power of God that created the heavens. And it stills the waves. Go out and blow against a wave. See how well you do. You're going to get your face wet. You lose your $300 glasses like I did. It's not going to work. But when you recognize your voice is a signal wire to God that activates full power, you can know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But you've got to flip the right switch with what you say. This light's neat. It came with a box. It's got all these different switches. And it's got a left floodlight built in and a right floodlight built in. a front floodlight, a back parking light. You can turn them all on different switches. It's even got one called strobe, and they all light up and start flashing. And it's got the full rotating switch, and when you do, they all start spinning and light up. I can light up the neighborhood right now. My wife wouldn't let me put it on the back deck. See, I do listen. Hallelujah. Our voice acts as a switch point to, I'm going to use this word and nobody get upset, but it actually gives God permission or right to move in our situation. Because God gave you a free will. You can mess up what you want to. You can let the devil run over if you want to. But it gave you the power of prayer to activate the will of God. So you're giving God really to some level of permission to move. Rights to move in your situation. That's why when the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. He said, pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You're giving God access to bring his kingdom to your life. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. See, there's a mindset within Christianity of a false recognition of the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign, but in his sovereignty, he gave us rights to rule the earth. And so, this false recognition of the sovereignty of God says that God always does what he wants to. God's in control of everything on the earth. You know, this is all the will of God. No, it's not. God never intended for the earth to be such a mess. Man's refusal to seek God has activated the curse which allowed everything to become a mess. But God said, if you'll pray, his will can be done on earth. So when you pray, you give God access to move in your situations. And you can have peace in the midst of the storm. So many people get upset and they say, if God's real, why is the earth such a mess? Because we made it a mess by leaving God out. Well, then if we have such authority, why don't we just speak? Why don't we just speak to the Lord and cause all these wars to cease? Because you have authority over your life, not everybody else's life. To try to take authority over somebody else's life is witchcraft. So your jurisdiction ends where your possession or ownership ends. Do you follow me? Now we can speak the glory of God, come to this city and change people's hearts. Amen. We can speak peace in the situation and pray the anointing move in. But we can't command people to change. The point being is our voice activates the power of God, releases angelic forces to bring a stilling of the waves in our situations. Are you still with me? Psalm 89. Verse 8, O Lord God of hosts. Do you remember the Lord of hosts? Remember his teaching on the Lord of hosts? What's it mean? Anybody remember what Lord of hosts means? Armies. The Lord of armies. It's a phrase that points to the end times. Amen. The Lord of Sabaoth, as it's spoken of in the book of James chapter 5, right? The Lord of hosts, if you'll study out the prophetic passages of the end time glory being released, usually are tied to the Lord of hosts. So here he says, O Lord God of armies, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about? Do you understand he's faithful? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. God is the God that stills the waves. But now we have a verse right before tying this. If you followed our teachings of the past, to some level of tying this to the end times. Scripture makes it clear that at the end of the end times, the enemy is going to release forces that have never been released at that level before. Waves of assault are going to be sent against mankind. But He still will be the God that stilleth the waves. When I saw that speedboat going up the river in that vision, and it was full of revivalists having a great party, but behind everything was collapsing. Well, that collapse was creating huge waves. I mean, foam shooting 100 feet in the air. Everything collapsing, it was virtually no survival in that area. But the boat staying ahead of the collapse was flying on perfectly smooth water. He's a God that stilleth the waves. Understand as well, it ties it to faithfulness. You can know He's going to be faithful to still the waves in your life. It will pass. Let me just ask, because some people may question the veracity of what I'm saying. How many here, I'm going to ask for a showing of hands in a second, have ever had an attack so strong that you didn't know if you could survive it or not? You felt like quitting, and the devil told you it will never stop. It will be like that forever. Raise your hand if that's ever been you. Do you see this? It's almost every hand in here. If you've been in revival very long, you'll experience it. If you're not, He'll leave you alone. I'm willing to fight the battles to take the ground. How about you? I refuse to compromise with darkness. And guess what? That wave that the devil said would be forever passed. And so will any other wave that you're experiencing if you speak the wave stilling, triggering word. When we say, it's the term that I heard Kenneth Copeland coin originally, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit, is a recognition of the wave will pass. I refuse to be moved with this temporal pain or pressure. And I know if I stand my ground, I'll be in the open here in a few minutes, I can breathe again. And I'll use that opportunity to get even stronger and go through the next wave in much shorter time and with a whole lot more joy. The attacks that used to almost floor me have no effect anymore. Amen. Now there's a whole other level of wave I can take on and stand against, where at one time that wave would have washed me down the sewer. But you develop experience, you learn how to stand, you know it's going to pass, you can take on stronger and stronger assaults. Because all they do is cause you to step into a place of higher and higher promotion. When the pastor you've gone to Africa with dies, that would be considered a wave. But after the attack is over, you're in a new place in the anointing. And so is he. Do you follow me? There's... When God raises him from the dead, when you speak the word over him, guess what? You've got some experience. And are able to take on even bigger waves. And none of you be dying. We don't need that, right? Praise you, Jesus. Psalm 93. Verse 4. Well, let's go to let's start at verse 3. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Here we go. You wake up, you went to bed one day and everything was just peachy. You love life. You love church. You love God. You wake up the next day and all of a sudden you got every devil in hell is in your bedroom. And all of a sudden they're telling you that your life is miserable, nothing's working, you know, you don't like anything about your life, it's just horrible, and it's going to last forever. that would be one of those floods. How many have to work to get out of bed? A few of you have failed that one in the past, right? You don't even want to get out of bed. You don't want to go to work. You don't want to do anything. Don't want to take a shower. Don't want to get ready. The floods are trying to drown you. But verse 4 says, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise. Oh, he calls it noise. The noise of many waters. Yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. The testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. You remember that movie, The Perfect Storm? Did anybody see that movie, The Perfect Storm, George Clooney? And they're out there in a fishing boat. It's a true story. They're out there in a fishing boat, and they've caught all these fish, and a storm rises up, and the meteorologists are going, my goodness, we've got a storm over here, and a storm here, and a storm here. They're about to all come together. It's going to create a perfect storm. The next thing you know, they have waves 100 feet high coming against them. I worked for a fella when I was first in Kentucky at IBM that was one of my higher managers. I heard him talking to us one time at lunch. He was on a destroyer in World War II and with Admiral Halsey. And Admiral Halsey led the fleet, I think twice, at least once, into a typhoon, a hurricane in the Pacific. And they were facing waves over 100 feet high. So we're talking about big ships. We're talking about destroyers and, you know, cruisers and battleships, whatever, you know. And they're going up these waves, and when the waves would come, the ships would just fall. That high, I mean, huge ships, but they would just crash. And he said one time they came down and they hit another wave, and it actually bent the destroyer. That's some serious waves. I'm telling you what, you may feel like the enemy sent against you a perfect storm. Everything coming from different directions is about to overtake you, and there's no way you can survive it. But I'm telling you what, it may bend you, but it won't break you. Just keep pressing ahead. When my understanding is, I'm not an expert on this, but my understanding is when you're in a storm, say you're in a yacht or a boat and you're out in the open ocean and a big storm is kicked up, that if you'll keep your engines running and head into the storm, you're more likely to survive it. But the worst thing that can happen is for you to lose your engines. Because then you use your ability to guide the boat and to overcome the waves. You may agree with that. You've got to keep pressing forward. The worst thing you can do in a wave is lose your footing. Quit speaking the word. Agree with it. Bow down to it. It's going to wash you with it, and you're going to stay under its effect, potentially till you drown from revival. And of course, we said, you know, you can quit. Oh, I just can't take anymore and quit, and I'm just going to the easy church. But when you do, and you may feel such a peace, but the devil's got your number. Amen. You don't feel peace because of the anointing of God. You feel peace because of the absence of the attack. Now listen. I have had the presence of God coming on me so strong in all night prayer and other times in here that at times I'm virtually pinned to the floor. I mean, His anointing is so strong. Almost every time I get to a zone where it's like, God, what was I thinking about that I didn't want to come tonight? There's no place I'd rather be. Jesus, Your presence is overwhelming. I get to experience that. You get to experience that. Not just here at home, whatever, put your praise music on. You're a revivalist. You can access the presence of God anytime in overflowing proportion. And I've learned that to step in that level, you've got to go usually through some level of spiritual development and be willing to go through some attack. You don't get to that place that God's pinning you to the floor by occasional Christianity. There is a price to be paid for that as far as staying going forward till you get to that place. And I found out when I'm in that place, I'm aware the devil will try to hit me, but it just doesn't matter. I'm with the Creator of the universe that spreadeth out the heaven with his fingertips, distilleth the waves, and all is right. And I would go through the fires of hell and able to experience oneness with God versus compromise, where I'm not willing to confront the waves anymore, just not to ever experience any more battle. When I was young, here's a personal confession. Can I make it tonight? There were a lot of things I didn't get involved in because I didn't like to lose, and I was afraid I might lose. You follow me? In other words, school activities or events, something inside of me, I don't remember thinking about it, but something inside of me was of the mindset I wouldn't be the best or I couldn't win, so I wouldn't do it. Well, I'm telling you, you'll never find out until you do try. And I got beyond where, hey, just be part of a team, press in or whatever. And don't be afraid of the losing. Be afraid of the not trying. Did you follow that? And there's got to be an attitude rise up. I refuse not to be activating the gifts and abilities God gave me to their fullest. To roll over and just accept the oppression and not confront it. Is to let your gifts lie dormant, your calling lie unfulfilled, and for the devil to win. And again, he would try to pressure people to that place of compromise versus victory. You still with me? Jeremiah chapter 5. I love knowing I get to win. I don't mind being involved at all when I know we get to win. Amen. I just don't like having no hope. Jeremiah chapter 5. Go to verse number 22. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will not you tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for a bound of the sea, by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, can they not pass over it? Do you see this? God says, I've positioned the sand of the seashore as a barrier to the waves of the sea. And no matter how much they pound against that sand on the seashore, they cannot prevail. Now you want to hear a neat revelation out of that? God told Abraham, I'm going to make your seed as the sand of the seashore. You're the sand. It says in Galatians, they which be of faith are the seed of Abraham. If you're a word-believing, faith-speaking Christian, you're of that seashore the waves cannot prevail against. They cannot win. You just got to stand and speak the word. I don't care what you're going through, what attack you're experiencing, what level it is. If you'll stand and speak the word, it cannot contain, it cannot maintain. You come out victorious. Now, hopefully after today, your determination to stand against these waves has increased. And your joy level while under any waves has gone up several notches. As long as you know you're going to win, you can take temporary pressure. So when you think it's not letting up, that you have a problem. And our words cause it to let up. Father, we thank you for your word. Seal it in our hearts, our minds, our understanding. Cause us to rise and be people of great faith and people of great victory who refuse to bow to the pressures of the enemy. Make each one here carry that warrior heart all the way through to completion of their assigned task from you. We thank you in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Did you get anything out of this today?